I learned the rest of it, the very important to begin with a song and end with a song. It's a traditional song that they sing in Breslov after the Sipur HaMasyid, after the stories. It used to be sung without words, but in the later years somebody put words to it. I have to speak a little bit about a very special Torah in the Chutei Moran. The Rebbe, in a few places, very pronounced, the Rebbe takes a certain passage and he turns it inside out completely. And in this portion, it's a very, very dramatic and very dramatic change that he makes, the Rebbe, really. Now, it's known that there's Torah in all the worlds. There's Torah from Olam Atzilut, Olam Abriya, Olam Yetzira, Olam Asiya. The regular Torah is like, let's say, for example, in Eitz Chaim, it mentions in a certain place in Eitz Chaim that it speaks about Loven Elyon. Loven Elyon is from the what's written in the Torah about Lavan. Lavan was the arch enemy of Israel. He was even a bigger enemy than any of them, because it says he wanted to. We say in the Haggadah Pesach, he wanted to uproot everything. But so he's like number one bad guy. But we see that. In Eitz Chaim, he speaks about Lavan and he calls him Loven Elyon, the supernal whiteness. That's the highest whiteness. He takes the word Lavan and he turns it into Lavan Mamash. Akshav, there's two Torahs especially that I'm speaking, that the Rebbe does this and takes passages from the Torah. One is in our portion. The one in our portion is Eretz Ochelet Et Yoshver. There's a passage of the Meragnim, the spies, they did the biggest sin of all was that they didn't believe in the tzaddik, they didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, and they disparaged the land of Israel. And the biggest disparagement that they had of the land of Israel was that the land of Israel is a land that eats up its inhabitants. It's look at the people that they brought the grapes on a great big grapevine. It was so big that they needed 8 people to carry it. And so you see how big these grapevines are? So that's how big the people are that live there. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're just giants living there. We have no chance. And they said, it's a land which eats up its inhabitants. So the Rebbe takes this and Kutim Ran and it's like Torah from Olam Atzilut. It's from the highest worlds. And the Rebbe shows that this is really actually the greatest praise of the land of Israel. And how a person can manage to come to the level of being like the Tzadikim and being like Eretz Yisrael. Like being like the land of Israel. Here we're sitting in this room and we're in Eretz Yisrael. We're not only in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Yerushalayim in the fridge. If a person would realize what a merit that we have to be here in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, in this time, we would get up and dance, all day and all night, because who are we to merit such a great thing, to be able to breathe the air of Israel? So the air of Israel is the most conducive. The Rebbe says, and it's brought in the Gemara, and the Rebbe speaks about in Torah Kuf Nun Hey that what a person can merit to the land of Israel is he can merit to Arichas Apayim. He can merit to absolute, complete patience and calmness and not being makpid, not being upset about anything in the world. So I'll tell you a short story. That when we first came to Izvalda, after a number of years, so we didn't have any. We went from apartment to apartment and place to place. I think we were maybe like 20 different places, and a person told us that if you want to really get a house, an apartment in Israel. So the only way to do it is like there was at that time an organization called Prazot. It's like an offshoot of Amidar, and they if a person has so many children and they have such a kind of a income, whatever, they can give you a subsidized housing. So, but it's a long, long list, and it's almost impossible to get on the list. So somebody told me that the only way they can get on the list is you have to go into the office. Take the tables, turn them upside down, shout and scream and bang on the walls and whatever you can, and it's the only way they'll ever hear you. So I thought, well, it sounds interesting, but I don't know if I don't know if that's my way to do things like that. But so I thought I have to ask Das Torah. At that time we lived in Sanhedrin Mochavit. We were living in the apartment of our Rosh Hashiva, and the rent was more, the rent that we were paying was more than the salary that I was getting from the full time learning in the Kola, and plus we had to pay for everything else, the food and this and that and for all the children. So everybody kept saying, "It's okay, it's all right, don't worry, I'm sure you're going to pay someday." I'm not worried in the least. But still, we had to manage somehow. So I thought, I have to ask Das Torah. So I went to the Rav of the neighborhood, Noah Heisberg, who was the Rav of the neighborhood, and I went to him and I asked him this question: what should we do? People tell us that the only way that you could ever get them to pay any attention to you is you have to go in there and turn the tables upside down and bang and scream and shout and cry and whatever, kick, whatever. So he looked at me and he said, the words of Chachamim, benachat nishmim, they're heard benachat. You don't have to do anything. You just have to pray and Hashem will help. So I thought, Ken, Zavimet. Afterwards, it's written in all the Torahs, and it's written in the Gemara, and Rabbi Nachman writes it in almost every page in the Gemara. So I said, yes, that's the truth. I went home and I told my wife. The next day, we got a phone call from the organization of Brazil, and they offered us an apartment with five rooms, 120 meters, in remote Berlin. We lived there for 25 years. We lived in this place. And it's like Gan Eden. My wife was so happy. Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to merit the Eretz Yisrael through. You merit the Eretz Yisrael. What kind of Eretz Yisrael do you want? That's the whole question. You want Eretz Yisrael that Chazal speak about, Erech HaPayim, the Ruchniyot of Eretz Yisrael. I can explain to you a few stories. One is, when we first became close to becoming close on the way to coming close to God, and we lived still in San Francisco in the 1960s. So we became close through Shlomo Carlebach. We were singing his songs, and until this day I sing his songs. Maybe it's the biggest sin in the world, I don't know, but they move my heart. So, anyway, he told me that there's a person, Shlomo told us there's a person named Zalman Schachter. He's a Penal Yerachai, he just passed away just a few months ago. And he was a good friend of Shlomo's, and he was into writing. All the things from all the different Sforim, the books of the great Chassidish masters. So we just send a letter to him and he'll send you things. We sent a letter to him telling him our story a little bit, and that there was nothing in English in those days. So about a month later, a big cardboard crate came in the mail, and it was filled with all these teachings. It was the first translation of Meshivas Nefesh. It's not the whole Meshivas Nefesh. Meshivas Nefesh is a book of Rabbi Alter Teplicher took excerpts from the Bukutei Halachot of Rabbi Nosson, and it's really Meshivas Nefesh. Many people were Chozer B'Tshuva through that book. It's like restore your soul. And there are other writings, and one of them was the letters of Rabbi Arla, Rabbi Aaron Roth. Today we know it's a Todas Aaron, but he lived in Poland, but he came to Eretz Yisrael. And there's a letter that one of his Hasidim, who was still in Europe, he asked him, what should I do? Should I also come to Eretz Yisrael, or should I stay in Poland? Well, this was like when was it in the late 20s, maybe in the 1930s. So he said to him, listen, if you want to come to Eretz Yisrael because you want to have a good life, gashmiut, physically, and have a nice house and this and that, he says, if that's why you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, it's better you stay. Better you don't come. But if you want to come to Eretz Yisrael because you want to find the spirituality, the longing of the soul, the fulfillment of your soul, then you just got to take the first boat and come right away. Now, he also brought, in one of these writings, letters that were written between Reb Mendel Vitebsk and Reb Avram Kalisker. Reb Mendel Vitebsk and Avram Kalisker were both Talmidim of the Mazdeh Magid. They were like the beginning they were what's called the Aliyah Rishona of Chassidim, the first Aliyah of Chassidim that came to Eretz Yisrael. There were like about 300, a few rabbis and many Chassidim that came to Yishuv, to come to the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It was impossible to come to, at that time, to Yerushalayim. So they settled in Tzfas and in Tiberia. Rabbi Mendel Vitebsk was at that time in Tiberia, and the other was in Tzfas. Afterwards, he also came to Tiberia. But in the meantime, when one was in Tzfas and the other was in Tiberia, they used to write letters back and forth to each other. So with the letter I saw was like this. He said, Rabbi Mendel writes to Rabbi Avram, Heiliger Rebbe, Heiliger Tzaddik. He said, before I came to Eretz Yisrael, he said, I was hoping that I should just pray one Shmona Esrei B'Kavanah. He says, after I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was praying I only should say one Bracha B'Kavanah. And he said, I understand what you're saying. It's by me, he said, before I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was praying that I should just be able to say one Bracha B'Kavanah. He says, but after I came to Eretz Yisrael, just even one word. You know, because you know what it is to say one word with Kavanah. Anyway, so this is the longing for Eretz Yisrael. They say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not merit to come into Eretz Yisrael. So, but because he didn't merit to come into Eretz Yisrael, so on his koach and his strength, All of Am Yisrael is okay to come to Eretz Yisrael because of his yearning and longing. Because the yearning and longing that he had all the time to come into Eretz Yisrael, even let me be a bird, let me come into Eretz Yisrael as a bird, I don't care, just let me step on the land. And it's so much he wanted to, and he was longing for it, because he wanted to come to the Nidot of Eretz Yisrael. They say the greatest Nidot of Eretz Yisrael is Anava. Anava, we say Erech HaPayim, Anava. These midot are incredible, incredible. A person could merit to such a thing. So here, now we're going to go, but I want to just sing another song first. This is a song that I was zocheh to make myself, so to speak. I mean, it was no songs you ever can make. They're only gifts from heaven. But this song is when we first came to Eretz Yisrael. It was Parshat Be'aloscha, the Haftarah Parshas Be'aloscha. The last words in the Haftarah, the last group of words in the Haftarah are this song. As we start the Torah in the Kutim Maran, Rabbeinu Omer, Eretz,
which Torah?
Torah Kuf Kaf Tet, 129. Eretz Ochelet Yashva. Keshe Mekurav LaTzadik, when a person is close to the Tzadik, Ah, she'enu makaveh mimenu klal. He doesn't receive anything from the tzaddik. In other words, he doesn't. He didn't understand his Torah. He didn't fulfill what the Rebbe is saying. As who gam kein tov meod. But even that you become close to the tzaddik, it's also tov meod. It's very good. Ve'amun elavada shemamin ba'tzaddik. And the emuna, the faith that alone that a person believes in the tzaddik, it helps him very much in serving God. Now the Rebbe is going to go on to an incredible thing here. Today we understand that I think a lot more than maybe in the older times. Ki teva achila shemazon netapech nemizon. That the nature of eating is that the food turns into the person who's to the person who's eating it. And today, people are more careful, maybe at least we should be, about what we eat, because if you eat things that are not good for you, they could affect you badly in every way, physically, spiritually, in all kinds of ways. The person is careful about what he eats and how he eats. So he can be also eating the right amount and not overeating and this is very, very beneficial for a person. So this is even on a simple level, and also spiritually it's also very good because if a person is careful the way he eats, then he's more strength, and he has more able to a clearer mind and a clearer body to be able to do all the avodah, the work that he needs to do. But the Rebbe is talking about it now. He's going to go into it in a deeper level. That the nature of eating is that the food turns into the person. That when an animal eats tzomeach, which eats grass or herbs or whatever, or vegetables, could go on asavim, the Rebbe says, for example, grass. Nitapchim asavim l'chai. Then the grass turns into a chai. Sometimes I think about it in this Bodhidus, especially when I'm out in the fields by Tzfas, in the area of Tzfas. There are a lot of cows in the fields there. And you see these cows, that they don't eat anything except grass. And how did it become a cow? A cow is so big and gashmi, so physical. And all he eats is grass. The grass turns into the cow. It's mamash amazing. Absolutely amazing. The first time I went deep once into the fields, and there was a whole group of cows there, and there were some bulls there, and very, very giant, big with horns and everything. I thought, wow, what's going to be now? And I was way, way deep in the fields. So I said, and the main thing is not to show that you're afraid at all. I just said that. And there's this expression in Breslev that when you're in the fields, I say, God forbid, if you come in contact with a snake in the middle of the fields, so you say to the snake, you go your way and I'll go my way. So I said it to the cows, I said, I'm on my way and you're on your way. So I was walking, and I kept walking, and this big giant cows that were like, wow, like maybe a ton, I don't know how big they are, they're very big, they saw me walking and they just put their head down and they just walked away. Yeah. Since then I heard, there's a song that you say in Yiddish on Pesach, they say a ki in Yiddish is a cow. And then it says that the shochet comes, So if you remind the cow that, there's going to be a shochet someday, then they also put their head down and run away. Anyway, the Rebbe said not to be afraid. The main thing is not to scare yourself. Don't scare yourself. So anyway, we're saying here that the that the esev, this grass, it turns into the cow. Vinitapecha esevim l'chai. And it turns into the cow. Kishenitmasim l'tov mea. And when it goes into its stomach, became mechayin and l'dabir. Also, now a person who eats kosher meat or whatever, kosher chickens, as vinitapchim esevim, like in Shabbos, a person eats a little cholent or whatever. As nitapchim the kain lechay the medaber. Also, the chay turns into a person. She medaber ochel lechay nitapecha chay le medaber. Ulekol makom she nichnas to shem amazon. Now, in every place where the food goes enters into the body of the person, nitchalek leverim, it goes into the different limbs of the person. Nitapech lemarut aever mamash. It becomes the very essence of the limb of the person's body that he goes into. For example, the part of the food that goes into the mind, it becomes the mind of the person. It becomes into the heart, it turns into the heart, became the sharvim, and so to all the other limbs. And this is what the Rebbe says, Zeo Eretz Ochelet et Yoshver. The land eats those who dwell on it. Ki Eretz u Bechinas Emunah, because Eretz is Israel, Eretz is Bechinas Emunah. As the Rebbe brings a proof from the Pasuk, Kamo Shekatuv, Shchein Eretz u Re'ei Emunah. Dwell in the land and be a shepherd of faith. Zeo Ochelet Yoshvel, Kishenichnas La'aretz. When a person goes into the land of Israel, Shehi Bechinas Emunah, as Ne'echal Etzlah, he becomes eaten by the land. Okay, so maybe you, when we came to Eretz Yisrael, we weren't the biggest tzaddikim, but we want to be. And if you want to be, and if you come to Eretz Yisrael with this kavanah, with this intention, you can mamish become netapa, you can be netapech, the very essence of the land of Israel. Hainu she netapech lemauta, you become mamish the essence of the land of Israel. Hainu she davuk la tzadik, that is, that a person is davuk la tzadik u'ma'amin bo, shehu b'chinas eretz. Because the Rebbe is doing an incredible thing here. He's equating the land of Israel and the tzaddik as one thing, the devarcha. As Eretz, you become nitapech the Eretz Israel, you become nitapech the tzaddik. A person is mekorav the tzaddik, you could be. Rabbeinu said, Rabbi Nachman said, that. If you'll come close to me and follow my teachings and follow my ways, as you can be kamoni mamish, you can be mamish like Belishim Perushim, ancient Perushim, not to explain, you can be mamish like. In Breslov they say it in two different ways. One way is they say that you could be a chidush in the fulfillment of your own soul, like the Rebbe was in his way. Because to be like the Rebbe, you can be like the Rebbe. But then there's another way that says, like, you could be like the Rebbe, even Pishnaime Rebbe. With one condition, you can even double the portion of Rebbe. One condition, that you never masiach dat me Rebbe. You never go away from the Rebbe. In other words, it's a Torah in the Kutim Ran, Torah San Rav, that the Rebbe speaks about Eliyahu Navi and Elisha. And the whole long story, Elisha, at that time, there were many B'nai Nevin, there were many, they were like students of prophets, on the way to becoming prophets. And Elisha was one of them, and Eliyahu was the chief prophet of the time. So the other students, they were saying to Elisha, you know, it's been revealed to us that Eliyahu is going to leave you. He said, I don't care, wherever he goes, I'm going to go. So then he went to this place and that place, and went to Yericho. And the people that and the Bnei Nevi'im over in there, and Yericho said to Isha, you know, we don't want to tell you, but your Rebbe's leaving. He said, I'm going to, wherever he goes, I'm going. So then he went to the Yarden, to the Jordan River, then Eliyahu says to Elisha, you know, I have to leave, you know, I have to go up. So he says, I'm not leaving you. He says, but I have to go up. He said, but give me a bracha before you leave. She said, what do you want? He says, I want pishnayim baruch acha alai. I want double your portion. He says, it's not so simple. Yeah. But I'll tell you what. If you never leave me and you keep your eyes on me and you will see me the whole time, he says, you can have pishnayim baruch acha. The pishnayim of my ruach, you can have it. So then he says, chariot of fire, horses of fire, ole l'shamayim. The other prophet said, you see, he died, he probably fell into a pit somewhere and he's not around anymore. And now we've got to be the prophets. They had no prophecy whatsoever after him. Because they thought, now we're Atzmai, we're on our own, you know. Elisha was Davuk Eliyahu, completely connected to Eliyahu, kol hazman. As him came, as Bemet, Rabbeinu says in the Torah over there, and the Putim Ranter, son of Bab, he got Pishnayim Ruch HaLai. What was the double portion? That it says, it's written in the Tanakh, that Eliyahu did 8 miracles that are written in the Tanakh. Elisha did 16. I don't know. I don't know whether it's Kita Aleph or Kita Beit or Kita. I think 2 times 8 is 16. I don't know if you got to that level yet, but 2 times 8 is 16. We don't go away from the Rebbe. The Rebbe is the Rebbe. I mean, if the Rebbe is the Rebbe, he wants you to come to the level that he's come, the ultimate level that he's come to. So I saw him when I was coming here this afternoon. I had only about 50 minutes to prepare for what I was gonna, the books I was gonna bring, and I had to also tune the guitar, so I had like only a few minutes left. And I want, there's one book that I forgot to bring. But I remember it about Pei anyway, so it doesn't matter. So it's from Torah Nosson. Torah Nosson is an excerpt from the Kutei Halachot on the Torahs and Kutei Moran. In the Torah Kuf, there's a Torah Kuf Kaf Gimel, which is also speaking about Eretz Yisrael and about the Mala of the Tzaddik. And in that Torah, he says that as long as a person still has a little bit of impurities in his being. In other words, he's still connected to taivas, achila, the passion for food, the passion for other things, passion for money, passion for what they say, dvar acher, other things. So then you should know that you're not the tzaddik yet. I always say that it's the biggest blessing to know that you're not the tzaddik. Because at least then you still need the tzaddik. You think you're the tzaddik, then you have to be an admor and you have to go around and like you're the one that's going to give the brachos. You have to know, Baruch Hashem, I'm not the tzaddik. I'm not the tzaddik, but I need the tzaddik. I need the tzaddik. So who is the tzaddik? No. So what he says over there in Teres Nosson, he brings. It's I think in Chaim Aron, Rabbi Nachman speaks about a reina pelecha. What is a reina pelecha? The Yiddish, it's a or meubad, skin which has been. They say that in Gemara and Ksuvos, it speaks about one of the conditions of a wife that she can demand a get if her husband became a borsiki. If he became somebody that tans skins, that he prepares the skins, because I said that you have to give me parnasa, but such a parnasa. Why? Because this is the smelliest thing that there is in the world. I was once in when I was in the House of Love and Prayer in San Francisco, so most of the time we had miracles and people gave donations that kept us going from day to day. But we decided, myself and my friend, that we were running the house, so we decided if we don't have donations, so we'll go out and work, you know. So there's a famous place, there was like a place that you could go in San Francisco that you could hire yourself out for the day. And they would give you a job. And usually they didn't give you a job, and then you'd get paid that you didn't have a job, which was the best. But you go back to learning, you know. But sometimes they gave you a job. So one day my friend got a job on a railroad car that was filled with these skins. You know, that were not finished the tanning yet. I couldn't get near my friend for 2 weeks. It was so smelly. I got a job also the same day. I got a job on a boat on the San Francisco wharf, or whatever it's called, that I was supposed to help put the packages, these giant packages inside. And it was a rainy day, and they were putting up masts, how do you say, these big things of canvas, so that the cargo, when they put in the boat, wouldn't get wet. And the person that was driving this thing, he was drunk, and he was having the greatest time swinging all the big cargo around to try to knock off the people that were working on the boat. The whole job that I had for about 6 hours was to try to evade this drunken person that was swinging the cargo. So anyway, but my friend was on, his job was on this railroad car that was right about the railroad car that came by right on the wharf. And he had to unload these untanned skins, and it was so smelly. So the Rebbe says, the tzaddik is the skin of the tzaddik is pure, completely, completely pure. No smell whatsoever from this world. You know what that means? Okay. Yeah, there's a story that's brought here. I heard it from Rav Levi Yitzchak. They write it here, and they don't exactly write it 100% the way I heard it. So I'll tell it the way I heard it. There is, but it's good to see it also in print. Rav Shimshon was one of the Talmudim of Rav Nachman. I made a mistake. Rav Shimshon was a Talmud of Rav Nosson. He was a young boy. He was about 10 years old when he came close to Rav Nosson. And Rav Shimshon, he would go to Rav Nosson when he would speak Shalashutas, the third meal, and Lava Malka. He would also come there at nighttime. So one of the people that was not so fond of Rav Nosson, he told the father of Rav Shimshon, of this boy, Shimshon, that he's running over to be with the Breslevers. So he forbade him to go to Rav Nosson. So what did he do? He locked the door in the house. He couldn't go out of the house. So Rav Shimshon, this boy, Shimshon, was very clever, and he jumped out the window. So when his father was asleep, so now his father decided that he has to do something else. So he decided that he'll sleep in the same bed with the boy, so the boy he'll feel right away if he wakes up, and won't let him go. So he tried to do that, and the boy anyway jumped out of the window. He got out of the bed, snuck out of the bed, jumped out the window, and was backed by Rav Nosson again. This happened week after week. So then the third week, he decided, listen, I got to do something. He took the boy's clothes, so he hid his clothes, and he gave him pajamas to wear. And he said, he'll never go with pajamas, you know, to the Malava Malka by Rav Nosson. So the boy woke up, and he's sneaking out the bed. He's trying to look for his clothes. He can't find any clothes. And his father used to give loans to all kinds of people that and they would give when they would give a loan, so they would give him a they would give a mashko, what's a mashko?
Collateral.
So one of them, the collaterals that somebody gave was somebody, he was like a peasant, a Russian peasant, and he gave his hat. It was like this peasant hat and a peasant coat. He was also a big guy. It was like, 250-300 pounds. So, and this was like a young boy. So he, it was the only clothes he could find. So he put on this funny hat, and it went right over his head, and he put on these clothes, and he like tried to roll them up the sleeves, but it was like ridiculous. It was like super Purim, you know? And he jumped out the window, and he made it to Reb Nissen. So when Reb Nissen saw him, Reb Nissen was very, very happy. And the other people were all laughing. And Reb Nissen said, "This will stand for you." He says, "I'll do you a tova. I'll do a good for you. I'll do a good thing for you someday." Now the story goes, Shimshon, he grew up and he became, because of his stubbornness and because of his great love for the tzaddik and connection to the tzaddik, so he became a big Oved Hashem, a big server of God. And Rabbi Avram Bernu was the grandson of Rabbeinu, of Rabbi Nachman, and he was very rich and he had big forests. So in those days, forest was like today, like oil. It was like it was all the fuel. All the fuel was from wood, and all the houses were built out of wood. Everything wood. Everything was wood. So he became the he was hired by Avram Bernu as the guard of the forest. He had big forest. So people were so in awe of this Rav Shimshon. He was such a true servant of God and such a holy person that nobody stole anything from any of the forests. And he had a deal with Avram Bernu. Avram Bernu said, "You take whatever every month, whatever money you need, you just take from the wood and you sell the wood and that'll be your parnasa." So this went on for a number of years. When he already had a daughter that was old enough to get married, so to get married, even in those days, it cost a lot of money. So you have to pay for this and pay for that. So Avram Bernu said, "Okay, take what you need, and you'll pay me back, when you have time." So he took a lot of trees and he paid for everything for the wedding. But unfortunately, Rav Shimshon didn't live that long. And before he had a chance to pay back all the from the wood that he took, he already passed away. So now, he came up to the Shemayim, and in Shemayim they looked at his records, and he was clean completely. He didn't do any sins whatsoever. The only thing was that this money he didn't pay back. So it was decreed in heaven that he would have to pass through the Nahar Dinor. Nahar Dinor is a very, very hot river. It's a very hot mikveh. Very, very hot days. So in the meantime, before he's going to the mikveh there, he ran to in the Shemayim. He sees actually afterwards he told this whole story to Rabbi Avraham Bernu in a dream. So that's how we know the story. So he came. He saw Rabbi Naftali. Rabbi Naftali was one of the biggest students of Rabbi Nachman, and he said, "Rabbi Naftali, take me to the Rabbi to save me from this, the heat of this river." So Rabbi Naftali says, "It's not my job." He says, "You've got to go to Reb Nissen. Reb Nissen's in charge of taking people to the Rebbe." So he, all of a sudden, Reb Nissen appeared in the dream, and he asked him if he could take him to the Rebbe. He says, "I remember what you did for me, that you were Moser Nefesh. You gave your life to come close to me." He says, "I'm going to help you. I'll bring you to the Rebbe." He brought him to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said to him, I'll do for you a favor. I'll cool off the river a little bit. So he cooled it off a little bit, and a little bit it was, you know, because this river, the purpose of this river, Narayanpur, is to purify a person from every trace that he still has left from him, from any reach, any smell of this world. Olam Hazeh. So the story, Reina Pelechot to the tzaddik is or Mu'bad Lagamra, it's skin that's completely fixed, completely clean. And so the Rebbe fixed him, cooled off the river for him. And even he didn't do any sins whatsoever. It was the only one thing. But still he had a taste. A little bit of this world. Why am I telling this story? Because we have to know, you know, where we're holding and where the tzaddik is and why we have to meet karev to the tzaddik. We want to be atzmai, we want to do everything on our own. But we have to know that the tzaddik is really here to help us. We said that in the Torah that we were learning last week, in Torah Ayin Hey, the Rebbe speaks, the Rebbe Nosson brings in that Torah, that he's explaining what is Mayim Nukvim, what is arousal from below, what is arousal. A person has longing to be close to his friend, so to love his friend, to be close to his friend. Who is it? And so how he explains it, for example, to be close to God and to travel to the tzaddik. So what does it mean to be close to God? That's my friend, the tzaddik, God is my friend, the tzaddik is my friend. So I understood from this that who is really your only real friend? There's only the tzaddik and only Hashem is your really friend. Because the tzaddik only wants good for you. He doesn't want anything else. He doesn't have any interest. He doesn't want to get kavod from you. He doesn't want to get money from you. He doesn't want anything from you. He wants only for your good that you should come to your tikkun. He doesn't want anything else. There's no other interest. So this is really your true friend. Yes, the Gamkein HaKoch HaZeh. The land of Israel also has this strength. What is the strength? The strength that if you become eaten by the land, it can turn you into the very being of Eretz Yisrael. It could fix all of your midot. It would make you to come to Erech HaPayim, to the ultimate of patience. And it could make you into a true humility. It could make you into a true tzaddik. Ya'akein amru rabbanateinu, zikron levracha, ma shikatuv in the Gemara in Ksuvas. Kol ha-yoshev, beretz Yisrael, sherui b'ravon. Anybody who's living in the land of Israel, it doesn't have any sins. Shenema, ha'am ha-yoshev ba nasu yavon. The people that live in this land have no sin. Ki eretz ochelet yoshveh. It's a land which can eat up its inhabitants. Shayoshev sham nechal etzla, he's eaten by the land. V'nitapech lema'uta akadosh, and he becomes turned into its holy essence. Ya'ken afilu amalech arba amot beretz Yisrael. Even if a person walks four amos in the land of Israel, he becomes turned into the ma'ut of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman gave it was. Incredible Mesiras Nefesh. Incredible, how do you say Mesiras Nefesh in English?
Sacrifice.
What? Sacrifice. Yeah.
Self-sacrifice.
It's part of it, maybe.
Giving over
yourself. That's the literal translation, yeah. Self-sacrifice, giving over yourself. He sacrificed himself, like he was like giving up his whole life to come to the land of Israel. He only was here. He finally made it. He left on Lag BaOmer, and he arrived in Eretz Yisrael just before Eretz Rosh Hashanah, just before Rosh Hashanah. And when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he came to Haifa. He wanted to come to Yerushalayim, But they at that time the Turks were in charge of the land of Israel, and they saw him, and he looked like, and there was a war between the Turks and France at the time, and they thought he was French because he had these funny things that were coming down, and funny kind of hat that, you know, looked different than, it wasn't like a Turkish hat, and they thought he was a French spy, so they wouldn't let him off the boat. And the boat was going back instead of getting off in Yafo, it ended up stopping in the harbor by Haifa, and he landed at Mamash Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbe took four steps on the shore of Eretz Yisrael, and he said, "I already achieved all what I needed." People had different opinions of what he was able to achieve, what it was. But whatever they said, the Rebbe said, no, it wasn't that. What it was, I don't know. But I have a little bit of an idea, and I'll tell you maybe the next year. Coming attractions. he was with his shamash. And the shamash said, but what about Tzfas and Tveria and Kibrei Tzadikim, your own? I want to see all these places. This was after Rosh Hashanah, after the Rebbe had Rosh Hashanah. So the Rebbe said, okay, hire donkeys, whatever you say, we'll go. So they went. Four steps in Eretz Yisrael. They say about Reb Mendel Vitebsk, we spoke about him before, about the letters between him and Avraham Kalisker. So Reb Mendel Vitebsk had a house in Tveria. And they afterwards built a Beit Knesset on top of his house. I was zocher to learn there once a week for a few years in that house. So after being in Eretz Yisrael for 20 years, all of a sudden he called all of his chassidim together. He said, "You got to bring some schnapps and some little bit cake and whatever. We're having a party." So nobody knew for what. It was the Yahrzeit. Nobody. It's not a Yahrzeit. It's not a Chag. It's not a holiday. What's going on? So when everybody was sitting down and they were singing, so the Rebbe said, "Today I've come to Eretz Yisrael." "What do you mean today? You've been here for 20 years." "No, today I came to. I can see all the stones shiny. I can see the land shiny. I can see it's diamonds and pearls and jewels. No, it's the real Eretz Yisrael. Before the time goes over, I want to sing one more song." This song is very dear to me. This is also a song that I made up. You know, it's interesting, the conversation I had with Yosef in the beginning before I came, because I had already in mind to sing my own songs. But I remember Shlomo Karlovar, he always would say, "I know a lot of songs," but he says, "I want to sing my own songs." This is a song. It's connected to two Torahs in the Kutei Maran, and one is the first Torah in the Kutei Maran, and the other is one of the last Torahs in the Kutei Maran, and they're both from Psukim from Kipitl Kuf Yud Chet of the Tehillim. One is from the Aleph, and the other is from the Taf. Aleph Ami Aleph Atav. First I'll sing the song, then maybe I'll explain it a little bit, and we'll sing it again. Oh, b'Torat Hashem. The first Torah in the Kutei Maran, it's like a person in Kita Aleph when everything is going good for him. Ashrei Tmimei Dorech, Baruch Hashem, going in a simple way, happy. You're in Kita Aleph, everything is going. I always say that the best report card I ever got was in kindergarten. The teacher had such hope for me. It was like, I thought that I was going to be the greatest. I got such gaiva from it that I never paid attention in class after that. It would have been so great, so I could learn everything in 1 minute. You know, I would have to pay all attention to all this foolishness. So, but anyway, Ashrei Tmimei Dorech. Happy is the person who's going on the Tmimei Dorech, in the simple, the pure way. I'm hoping the Torah Hashem is going in the way of God. But I don't want to say bad things, but sometimes a person falls a little bit off the way. You know, so Ta'iti Kaseh Oved, that's the second part of the song. And that's that, starting out with Aleph, now we're going to Tav. Ta'iti Kaseh Oved, it's the first, that's Ashrei Tmimei Dorech, it's the first Torah in the Kutiran, Torah Aleph. Ta'iti Kaseh Oved is Torah Reish Vav. So it's towards the end of the first chedek, first part of the Tmimei Dorech. Ta'iti Kaseh Oved, I got lost like a lost sheep. Bakesh Abdecha, please, you seek me out, because I'm lost. I can't even find my own way. You have to find me. It's even deeper than I'm going to find you. It's like, you find me. You're asking to Hashem, find me, Hashem, because I'm lost. I have a son-in-law in Stas, so he was a sofer, and now he's doing other things. But at the time, he has in his room where he does sofers, he has a sign on the door that says, don't follow me, I'm also lost. But Rabbanishan, look, find me, bring me back. So now the incredible thing of a song is like this. When you sing a song, it's like a circle. Because you sing the first part, it's Ashrei Tmimei Dorech. And then you go on to the second part. Now I was on the way, but now I've got lost. I fell off the way. I don't know where I am anymore. See, help me, Shem, find me. But after you say that, then you start all over the beginning of the song again. Let's have something go. You know? So it's like a circle. Ashrei, then you go back to Ashrei Tmimei Dorech, because if you really cry out to Hashem to find that Hashem should look for you and find you, then you're back to the beginning again. So I always thought, you know, I thought about this, that when a person goes to Uman, so the Rebbe can do incredible tikkunim, but there's a special incredible fixings. But one of the special things that the Rebbe says, he's asked that people should bring their children before 7 years old to the Rebbe. You'll bring your child before 7 years old, and then I promise you, the Rebbe said, that he'll won't sin until he'll be pure until his wedding, and hopefully even afterwards. So I thought, so what about us? That we didn't merit to get there before we were seven? Do we have a chance? So I thought, the Rebbe has koach, the Rebbe has strength, that even us, who we already are after seven, we already maybe we're already 40 or 50 or whatever, that the Rebbe can turn us into the act before seven. So that's Ashrei Tmimei Dorech. After you went off the way and you're lost and you cry out to Hashem, so the tzaddik has koach to take you back. He can take you back to right that you're beginning the derech all new again. Ashrei Tmimei Dorech, the complete symptom, the happiness. As the Rebbe says in the last beggar of the seven beggars, the last beggar that the Rebbe told, which is the beggar without hands, who has really hands. So the Rebbe has koach in his hands, he has strength in his hands, that even after all the poison arrows hit you, the Rebbe can take them out and heal you completely. So we'll sing a song one more time. Ashrei Tmimei Dorech. אז אבל זהו גם כן עניין המבואה במקום אחר, על פסוק בקרוב אליי מראים לאכול את בשרי. It says, when evil doers come close to consume my flesh. So the Rebbe says, שכל עניין שם, שאני רוצה שיתקרבו טרין רעים, ולא מתפרשים. I want to bring close two beloved ones that never separate. This is in a very big inyan in the Kabbalah. It's speaking about Abba Ve'ima. Abba Ve'ima are two persona, whatever they say in English, I don't know the word in English, but supreme, that they're never separated from each other. Abba Ve'ima. That's why it's very important that everybody should be zochet to real shalom bayis, to real peace in their house between wife and husband. Because the children, when they look at the father and mother, by them, the father and mother are one thing. Because sometimes the child will call Abba Ima and Ima Abba, because for him they're one. And God forbid, it's a very big thing in what it's called, the Chinuch Yeladim, how do you say the education of the children, that you should never argue before the children. A father and mother should never argue before the children, because the children, it's shocking for them. They can't believe it, that the parents are not one thing. So this in spirituality, Abba Ve'ima are two parts of being, two holy persona, that they never separated. I need tzarich le'chol et basari. And how does a person make this yichud? How does a person make this union that between Abba and Ima that becomes one thing? To come to this great, this level of Kedusha, he says, a person has to le'chol et basari. What does it mean? He has to annihilate your body. To go out of your physicality. To go. How do you do it? You know, it's not so easy. Ken. Through the tzaddik and through the land of Israel. That's what the Rebbe says here in this story. Through that, if a person doesn't give up on the tzaddik, he doesn't give up on the land of Israel. That the land, if he doesn't give up, so that you could turn into the, you could get out of all of this. You could turn the skin. You could turn the skin into pure, and without any smell. Get out of all the smell, that exuding beauty. They said that when Rabbeinu died, so there was coming out from his body such smells like Gan Eden, just like. Because it's usually the opposite. You know, just smelling more beautiful, more perfume. Because he completely worked out all of the impurities from the skin, all the taivas. I'll just add one more little drop, you know, because there's a. When I read the Meshivat Nefesh, I said we got the Meshivat Nefesh from Zalman Shachter. He gave it to us like 50 years ago, and it says there even if a person will try to serve God, you know, for a month or for a year or 2 years, and he won't be able to achieve what he wants to, still don't give up. Keep trying. So I thought, I don't believe, you know, I can't believe this, you know. Maybe a week, I can imagine, but a year, 2 years, why should it take so long? So now after 50 years, I realize what Nussan was saying here. So it's still 50 years, and I didn't even begin yet. But don't give up. Don't give up. It's still, the changes sometimes happen so slowly that you don't even realize that they're changing. Don't give up. Because one of the main teachings from the Rebbe said just before he passed away, so he was very, very, very weak. And Reb Nissen was taking care of him, and Reb Nissen was carrying him from the bed to the chair, from the chair to the bed. And one time, while he was carrying him, so the Rebbe turned his awesome face to Reb Nissen and said to him, Pavoli, Pavoli, slowly, slowly. So Reb Nissen didn't understand what he was talking about. Said, slowly, slowly. Nobody could be doing, carrying the Rebbe more slowly and more carefully than him. There's no person in the world that I love more. There's nothing in the world that I love more than the Rebbe. I'm so careful to carry him with the utmost care and caringness. So I didn't understand what he meant. It was only after the Rebbe was niftar that I understood the Makreya. Pavori, Pavori in Yiddish, it's not really Yiddish. I found out, I thought it was Yiddish, but it's actually Ukrainian dialect of Yiddish. It means slowly, slowly. This was the Rebbe was a derech of Avodas Hashem. The Rebbe was saying, okay, we want to achieve everything, but keep going, slowly, slowly. Each day, I'm so proud of you guys and learning Gemara every day. You have a shiur, you have to, how many hours? 3 hours a day? So 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever it is. You can do more even, but in the meantime, whatever you're doing, you know, it's like, it's shaking the heavens and shaking the earth. Preparing the way for the Geula. Preparing the way for the redemption. וזהו אכול את השרי לאכול דייקה שצריך הנפש תאכל הבשר that the nefesh should eat the basar. In other words, the ruchnius should eat up the gashmius. I just heard somebody just told me just before I came, somebody just came back from Holland where the Rav Berlin is there with this with the chevra, and he said he was telling me how it was. He said all the tefillot were outside, and then he said the Rav, when I was there in Purim, the Rav said I always wanted to pray outside but they never let me, so now I'm praying, he's praying outside. Then it was we were praying in the mud because there was a big rainstorm and everything. So now he told me it's like 35 degrees. It's almost Eilat weather, you know. I think it's right, maybe it's 35 right now in Yerushalayim. But they were praying outside in the daytime, it was 35 degrees. In the nighttime, there was rainstorms and thunder and lightning and everything. And the Rav never stopped davening for a minute. You know, he didn't make anything shorter. Everything was like, Otfila, 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 Bechom, in the chom, in the rain, in the sleep. And everybody is together. You know, I can understand that tzaddik could be doing it on his own, but to do it together with all the chassidim together, that's because the Rebbe said he has koach to take us out of our body completely. About don't despair if you didn't get out of it yet. Keep going. Keep working with the Torahs of Kutim Aran. Keep learning Gemara. Keep learning Otfila, the Shem Yazor, the Sputzeh, the Nizkeh, to a perfectly pure body like the Rebbe, Eretz Ocheret Yashvel, to be like the land of Israel, to be like the Tzaddik, the Kamoni Kamoni Mamish, to be, and the Besutzeh Yeh Gulash Neimami Yehimi Yehimi.